Sunday. This is BK Jones. I am thrilled to be partnering with BPN Radio and Pastor Dale Gentry for Preaching Sundays every Sunday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. Let's go to the message. Your protection is in your connections this morning. As I was preparing for this message today, I was thinking about all the electronics in our house. Les's first question to me when I can't get something on the internet is what? Well, is it connected? Well, is it connected? Sometimes I just want to smile at him and give him a big kiss for saying something so sarcastic as that. I take it as sarcastic. But usually if I'll check and I really am having trouble with something, he's usually right. And I hate to admit that this morning, but he is usually right. So that question, are you connected? I want to ask that to you this morning. Are you connected, and who are you connected with? So much of life has to do with our connections. People are invaluable resources if you're connected to the right one. I frequently go to God and I ask him for these two things: divine connections and favor with people to get to my destiny. Divine connections and favor. Because the favor of God on your life will cause you to go places you had no business being. If you look in the natural, just at my life, there's no way that I could be preaching on the radio today. But God made a way where there seemed to be no way. And I'm so thankful for that. He looked at my mess, and you know what he said? I can use that. I can use that. He's not looking for the prettiest. He's not looking for the best speaker. He's not looking for anything in particular except for a willing and an open heart that he can deposit his presence in. So I just want to tell you, there's protection in your connections. You got to get lined up with the right connection. God chose to need connection with people. Even he, in his complete state of being, the Most High God, he chose to connect with people. He chose to need us. I find that so amazing that God chooses to need a connection with me. You know, he made the world and he formed it. He just spoke it into existence. It wasn't like a hard thing. He just spoke it. And of all the things he could speak into existence, he spoke that you would be here. He chose to need you this morning, and he chose to need people in your life to help propel you to your destiny. God made us to thrive in connections with the right people. There are two main reasons that God put us on the planet. Only two. I wish somebody had explained this. Nobody preached this scripture much when I was younger. I remember having to memorize the Ten Commandments, and I did that. And I was constantly, I felt like, being given rules. And Jesus knew that the religious world had presented a bunch of rules to the kingdom of God. He knew that they were making it very hard to get to God. So Jesus came in Matthew 22, 36 through 40, and he said, let's quit overcomplicating this. In verse 36, it says, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were asking Jesus, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That is, unselfishly seek the best or higher good for others. The whole law and the writings of the prophets depend on these two commandments. I love that Jesus just came and simplified things. He saw us just making a mess. God saw us making a mess out of, well, making religion out of something that he meant to be a relationship with man. And so he sent Jesus, his son, to come and die and be the ultimate sacrifice. And to sum it all up in, you just got to love God and you got to love people. And when you do those two things, your life will come in line. You got to passionately connect with God, and you have to purposefully connect with people, fervently loving both of them. You can't love God with all your heart, mind, and soul and not love people. It's impossible, because God is love, and everyone that dwells in him is love. They have to be part of that love. So in order to dwell in God, you have to dwell in love. So if you're struggling to love somebody, You need to check your connection with God. You need to think about, how am I relating to the Father? Because if I'm relating properly with Him and I'm accepting the forgiveness and the grace that He's shown me, and I'm so thankful for that, like I should be, then it will become easier for me to love people. If life isn't going good, it's because of your connections. If life is going good, it's because of your connections. If you watch people when they start to slip away from the things of God, and often just from church, if you watch them, you can trace it back to a connection. You know, when we don't forgive somebody, it causes a problem in our connection with God, because if we can't extend the grace that we've received, then it causes trouble in our connection. Because the word even says that God won't hear our prayers if we can't forgive, if we can't love somebody that we can see. How can we confess the love of God that we can't see? So we were made for connections, and everything traces back to connections. God made man and immediately saw that he was not going to do well on his own. All the women say amen. God made man first, and his first observation as he was studying man and watching him in the garden was what? It's not good for him to be alone. In Genesis 2:18 it says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper who is just right for him." It's not good for man to be alone. We're a mess on our own. We're a mess trying to do things on our own. Dale Gentry, a good friend of mine, a godly man that I look up to, he's prophesied over our lives for many, many years. I remember him saying to the church, prophesying, "The day of the Lone Ranger is over. There are no superstars in God's church. If there is, something's out of balance, because we should be working together as a body to promote the kingdom of God. And there should only be one star in church, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ." When Jesus sent out his disciples, he sent them out two by two. Why? Because they needed connections. They needed protection in their connections. They were his disciples. He had chosen them. He had picked them, right? And he was loving on them, and he was teaching them himself. And even with all the good teaching they received from Jesus, he said, "You're going to have to take somebody with you. You're going to have to go two by two. It's just not good to be alone." Two can provide a support system and a valid witness for each other. You know, we have always done that in this church and in our life and in our ministry. Pastor Les and I never meet anyone, hardly ever meet anyone alone, but we certainly never meet the opposite sex alone. Because if we're together, nobody can say we did anything that we, you know, nobody can accuse us. There's accountability. There's love. There's support. There's, you know, we're together. We're working together as a unit. And there's protection in that connection. Even when somebody says we said something we didn't say. Two people have twice the resources. They can learn from each other. And so God sent them out two by two for protection. Two people bring into effect the power of influence, encouragement, and cross-training. I never spend time with somebody that I don't learn something I didn't know. When you spend time with somebody, you learn something about them. You learn something that can better your life. You learn something that can help you along the way. If you will talk to them and communicate with them and choose to connect with them, you'll learn something that you need to know. I've had people tell me things that seemed so crazy, and then years later, something will happen, and what they said will come back to my mind. Because there was protection in my connection with that person. That person deposited something in my spirit that I needed for later. You don't always need it now, but you need it later. I've had people come back to me and say, "I didn't understand what you meant at the moment, but I'm thankful that you said what you said. Because I needed it. It protects me. It helps me." Proverbs 27:17 in the New Living Translation, it says, "As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend." I love the New Passion Translation. It says, "It takes a grinding wheel to sharpen a blade, and so a friendly argument can sharpen a man." There's protection in our connection. Even when we don't agree with somebody, if we disagree in love, then we can learn something from it. We should be able to disagree and walk away and still love each other if we're connected in the way that God would have us to be. You know, I'm thankful for people that see things I don't see. I'm thankful for my kids that see things that I don't see. They're protection for me. They'll say, "Mom, this is happening," or, "Mom, did you see that?" Or, "Do you know this?" And I take in that information from their generation, and it's made me, I feel like, a better mom and a better person. They are so compassionate and loving and kind. And I appreciate that they can check me when I'm out of balance on that, and I do the same for them. We need the protection of connection. Predators look for someone who is alone so they'll be easier to take advantage of. Let me tell you what happened at TJ Maxx. I'm at TJ Maxx and I see a man, and I sat for about 30 minutes and studied this man who has been arrested for stalking. I studied his behavior. I watched how he scanned the parking lot and he looked for women alone in their cars. He didn't approach the car from the front of the car where the women were facing. He approached it from their blind side, from behind the car. And he snuck up behind them and he would knock. And if they didn't respond, if they didn't open the door, he would grab the handle. I watched him watch another lady. She drove off as she saw him coming and she started to drive off. He ran and grabbed her handle and still tried to get in the car. You see, we have an adversary, the devil, that goes about seeking whom he may devour. It was interesting to me that this man only went after women that were alone. He didn't go after any burly men. I noticed that he went after a lot of senior women. He went after women that didn't have a man with them, that didn't have the strength of a man with them. Predators will seek someone who's alone, so they'll be easier to take advantage of. They try to catch people off their guard and unaware of their surroundings. They always say in self-defense classes to don't go out alone by yourself, and it's better to stay in a group. When I feel something uneasy at a store or something, I'll wait until other people are walking out. And I'll walk with them. Why? Because there's protection in my connection with people. Ecclesiastes 4:9-12 says, "Two people are better than one, for they can help each other succeed." If you're the Lone Ranger, you don't have anybody to help you to succeed. And God wants somebody to help you to succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in terrible trouble. Well, likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Several years ago when we were doing a women's conference at what was then the Holiday Inn, I went by myself late at night. That wasn't very smart, but I was meeting somebody there. My decorator was coming, and that was the only time she could come. I'll never forget, it was 10:15 at night. And I should have just waited in my car maybe till she got there, but I was just wanting to take care of business and get things done. So I get out and walk in about 10:13. I get about 20 feet from my car maybe, and I hear a voice. And say, "Hey, can I ask you a question?" And I said, "No, not right now." And they said, "Hey, I just need to ask you a question." And I said, "Well, I'll be glad to talk to you, but you're going to need to talk to me inside." And they said, "I just need to ask you a question." And then they started yelling profanity at me and calling me horrible names. And then they came and placed their hands on me. It was a very large man. He placed his hands on me, and I knew I was in trouble. At exactly 10:15, the girl that was supposed to meet me drove up. Her headlights hit me and the guy. And she started blowing her horn and just acting a fool. And she said, "Jump in the car, Pastor BK, jump in the car right now." And so I jumped in and we sped off to a safe place. That night, there was protection in my connection. I was connected with her in a way that she knew the look on my face wasn't good. She could see fear on my face. She could look at the situation and know it wasn't good. And besides, she knew I wasn't meeting a big old man in the parking lot that night. I was meeting her. But I honestly believe that I could have lost my life that night if I didn't have that connection. and the protection that it yielded for me. It's so important for you to be connected with people and to make wise decisions in who you're connected with. The devil is a predator, and he wants to isolate you and catch you without the protection of godly connections. That's when you fall, when you back off from godly connections. When you back off from people that will say, "What are you doing here?" It's not a bad thing. I'm thankful for people that ask me. I have some godly people in my life, and they'll say, "What are you doing here? What are you thinking?" You know, I'm thankful for that kind of love and friendship. In 1 Peter 5:8, I quote a little bit of it, but it says, "Stay alert, watch out for your enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." He's looking for someone to devour, not somebody he already possesses, but someone to devour, somebody that is unprotected, someone that's not watching, that's not aware. You know, and scripture says to stay aware, be alert. There's a real enemy out there, and he's after you, and he's after your connection. So you have to stay protected and find that protection in your connection. The devil is a bully, and he talks big when nobody else is around. Have you ever noticed bullies talk really big when nobody else is around? I think about my one experience with a bully on the playground in sixth grade. The bully had just come to our school. We were all kind of little and scrawny. She was not. She was shaped much like a man. She's very tall. She's probably seriously over about 6 feet tall and a very large girl, and she just wanted to fit in. She didn't know me or know anything about me. I remember her saying, "Your mother's not dead. She just left you." Well, that hit a nerve in me. Like, I've never been a fighter. I'm a talker, but I'm not a fighter. But that hit a nerve in me. And honestly, I'm not proud of this, but before I thought about it, it pierced me so deeply in my pain that I slapped her. But it was just her and I alone. Obviously, I didn't have much sense, or I would not slap a 6 foot girl that I could barely reach to slap. But she just pushed me a little bit. I fell out on the ground. Everything started to spin. I couldn't breathe. I was passed out. And then all my little friends ran up. And you know what? She had nothing else to say, because I had moved from being alone and isolated on the playground to being protected. My connection showed up, and they were ready to protect me. I remember a little guy. He was not big at all, but he was fierce. And Bob said, "Don't you ever speak to our friend like that." And all these people that I didn't really even know were my friends are all of a sudden yelling in this bully's face, and all of a sudden she backed down, and I never had another problem with her. I also never slapped another 6 foot person either. I regularly pray for divine connections and favor, because in 2 Peter 1:3 it says, "By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him." It's important to know him. "The one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence." See, everything we need is in the kingdom of God. And I am embarrassed to say, but thankful that I figured it out, that I spent a lot of my life waiting for things to come to me when they were already out there. God had already provided them. God had already provided the connections. But guess what? I wasn't going to find any of them sitting at the house on the couch. I had to make an effort to connect with people that believe like I believe. I had to make an effort to connect with people that wanted the things that I wanted. I thought of this example. I buy groceries for my kids and for my husband, but they have to take advantage of what I've bought. They have to go in the kitchen and partake of the groceries that I've supplied. And God, scripture says, he has provided everything we need in Christ Jesus, but we have to take advantage of it. Some of us are waiting on God, and he's waiting on you. He's waiting on you to apply for the job. He's waiting on you to step out by faith and do something that he said you can do. He's waiting on you to believe him for something greater than you have. God has provided what you need, and you just need to start asking him for divine connections. You need to quit feeling like a loser, quit allowing the things people have said that haunt you to go in your mind, and you need to realize that God has provided everything you need for your dreams to come true. Who do you think put that dream in your heart? The enemy wouldn't give you a good dream. He wouldn't give you a vision to help people. God has given you that, but you have to pray and you have to rid your life of things that hinder the good things of God coming to you. Everything we need is available. We just have to go after it. Take inventory of your closest connections. Whatever is right in your life, look at it and say, okay, that's good. But whatever's not right in your life, you need to begin to analyze it and see, why am I connected here in this unhealthy relationship? About a year ago, I began taking inventory of my connections. My life wasn't going the direction I wanted it to go. It wasn't going better yet. It wasn't going the direction that God said it would go. And here's what I know. God doesn't have a problem. He's not laid on anything. He's not stagnant. He never is just doing nothing. He never misses a chance to provide for his children. But I had become stagnant. I had become lax in the things that God had spoken. And I had quit going after them. So I was the problem. So I started talking to a friend and found me a mentor that would help me work through what was keeping me in this cycle of stagnation. And I looked at who I was listening to. And I want to ask you, who are you listening to this morning? Who's speaking into your life? Because the voices that you're allowing to speak in your life, they're framing your world. And so if you've got negativity coming in, then your life's going to be framed in negativity. But if you find some positive people that can speak life to your dreams and that believe in your dreams and that want you to succeed, and you connect with them, then you're able to go places. Someone asked me one time and said, why are you still connected with that person? And I said, well, because, you know, I just always have been. And they said, well, would you choose them as a friend? If you had a choice in the matter, would you choose to be in relationship with them? And I said, well, no. They said, why? And I said, because they're not good for me. And she said, then why are you still connected with them? Because connection with the wrong people puts a lap in our protection. It causes us to let down our guard. We're just putting thing after thing after thing. We're just receiving negativity. We're allowing that to go in our lives. And you know what? It's okay to back off from negative people, from people that constantly say negative things to you or squish your dreams. That's a good Southern word, squish your dreams. In the South, we're raised to be nice because God doesn't like ugly. We're taught to keep the peace, often at the expense of our own peace and well-being. Jesus offered people his love, but all throughout Scripture, I never saw him chasing somebody down and trying to shove it down their throats. He offered what he had. He offered to be a positive influence in their life. He offered to give them salvation. He offered to help them on their way to a better life. But if they refused him, he walked away. He even told the disciples, if you go to a home and somebody rejects you, just knock the dust off your feet and keep going. That's a freeing word for somebody. It's okay to walk away. It's okay to say, after all these years of doing, I haven't done you well. You haven't helped me. I haven't helped you. So maybe I'm in the way of somebody better coming along in your life that can help you. Jesus offered people his love, but if they didn't receive it, he moved on. I don't know about you, but sometimes I forget to move on. Sometimes I catch myself in the mud with somebody, and I realize that we've been in this mud for years and years and years, and it's just not good. It's just not good to continue. So many times we aid and abet people in their bondage because we won't just say, hey, I'm not helping you by helping you. I need to just walk away. I'll never forget being at the corner up here, and I was just crying because I'd tried for years to help this girl, and she was still being mean. She was still being hateful. She was still saying horrible things about me. And God said, don't you believe that I can handle this without you? You are not her savior. Give her to me and back away. But Lord, if I don't love her, she says I'm the only person that loves her. Negative people, narcissistic people, people that don't want well for your life will make you think that if you walk away, if you leave them in the hands of God to love them, that they'll just dwindle. But the truth is that you're not their savior. Jesus is. And he'll work through you, but there's a time when you've done all you can and you got to say, I'm going to leave this in the hands of God and I'm going to walk away for your betterment. Because obviously what I'm doing is not helping and you're not helping me. So I can move on. Jesus didn't focus on those that rejected the gift in him because he knew there were others anxiously waiting to receive the gift in you. Somebody is anxiously waiting for a connection with you. Somebody is anxiously waiting to link arms with you and do something great for God. But they can't reach you if you're all bound up in unhealthy situations. Pastor Les preached a message years ago. He preached a message on Legos. And scientifically, people only have so much space for connections. They only have so many places where they can connect. We can only take so many close relationships in our life and do them justice. Now, we can love everybody. And Jesus loved everybody. But he was tightly knit with 12. And then he whittled it down to 3. Because he needed the people closest to him. The 3 that rose to the top in his life and in his ministry. He needed them by him. He wanted them by him for things that other people wouldn't be able to stand. There's protection in his connection with those people. Jesus never begged anyone for their love and acceptance. As I started examining my connections, I started looking at the ones who added value to my life and the ones that took my peace. And I realized I wasn't honoring God or caring for myself by maintaining toxic relationships. I was actually hindering God and his flow in my life by continuing to be all snapped up with people that didn't know the plan of God for my life, that didn't want it to happen. People that are jealous, people that are just discouraging, people, you know, and people don't mean to be that way, I think. They just get trapped in their own life. Galatians 5:7 says, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? There's always a hindrance. Every time you're running really well and life is going really well and you're running this race with God and you trip up or you stop or you give up, ask yourself, who's hindering me from finishing this race? This year, some of my dreams are coming true, and I truly believe it's because I realized who was hindering me from finishing the race. It wasn't their fault. It was mine for letting them hinder me from finishing the race. You ran well. Who hindered you? I remember when I first wanted to become a life coach, and I told several people, and you know what the common response was? Oh, you just want to make money. When I examined those connections, all of them made plenty of money, but they didn't think I should. I had to realize that those people didn't want the best for me because the more God blesses me, the more I can bless his kingdom. The more God pours through me, the more I can pour into others. The more needs I can meet for him, for his glory. You know, God doesn't hand out checks. He flows through people that will write them. He pours his love and his grace and his goodness and his provision through people. You got to get snapped up with the right people. I was keeping myself in chaos by nurturing people who were sucking the oxygen from my lungs. I didn't know how to be still and just know that he was God. Because I was so snapped up with relationships that were unhealthy and were not good for me. And God never asked me to do that. He asked me to love people like he's loved me, but he didn't ask me to be all bound up with somebody. Jesus' love brings freedom, not bondage. God, I'm going to help people that are broken. I'm sure I'll help tons of people that might not want the best for me, but I'm not going to invite them into my inner circle. I'm going to surround myself with people that will cheer me on in the things of God. That he wants. God is not the author of confusion. If your life is constantly in a state of confusion, check your connections. When I began to push away from some of those unhealthy connections, my mind began to rest. Guys, I'm going to be honest with you. It had been years since I could just be still and know that he was God. It had been years since I had just rested in God's peace. It had been years. Because I had allowed people and relationships to keep me in turmoil. So I want to encourage you to check your connection. God is not the author of confusion. He's the author of peace. There truly is protection in your connections today. I pray that you'll ask the Lord to help you examine the connections that you've made with people, those that are healthy and those that are not, and he'll help you make the right choices in setting up your life for greater success in the future. Father, I pray that you bless this audience today, that you'll pour out your spirit on them, God, and that you'll give them wisdom and direction in their connections, Lord, that you would supply the safety that they need in Jesus' name.